and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Glow West podcast, where we chat about sex, sexuality, and the body. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline West, and I'm delighted to be a part of the Tortoiseshell Network, where you can find all sorts of podcasts on politics, culture, society, and my favourite, sex. If you like what we do, please do consider supporting us at patreon.com/tortoiseshell, or please rate and review over on Apple. Today on Glow West, we're looking at how sex can be a lot more than just penetration and how it can become more inclusive. My guest has become known as the queen of blowjobs, and not just in my head, as her job description. And she also champions inclusive toys and sex for plus size people. Lene Marie can be described as an enthusiastic advocate for self-love and sex positivity. Throughout the years of working in the medical field and distributing toys through her own website, she realised that that was not quite enough, and she decided to become a love teacher and a love dealer. She's currently enrolled in the Dr. Rachel Institute for her certification in clinical sexuality coaching. She shares her knowledge through blogging, classes and travels. Her ultimate goal is to encourage, educate and sprinkle sex positive, inclusive information everywhere. Linnea, thank you for joining me. You sound like this lovely sex positive fairy sprinkling sex.
Thank you for having me.
All over. Thank you so much. And may I also add to your bio that you are an excellent supplier of wedding favors, as you supplied a ton of condoms for my wedding favors. So thank you.
No problem. That's awesome. I hope they were put to good use.
I hope so. Every last one of them was well taken. So yeah,
yay!
I hope a lot of people had some good sex and good safe sex after that.
Yes.
So did you ever think in your wildest dreams, or when you were growing up or going to school, that you'd be one day in a podcast being referred to as a queen of blowjobs?
Not in a million years. I knew I wanted to get into sex and information and teaching and sex toys when I was younger. My mom will even tell you, she before I could drive, I said, I want to be a sex educator. So it goes way back, but never the queen of blowjobs or anything like that.
So. Yeah, you specialized a lot later on, maybe.
Yeah, right. I got better. I learned and got better.
Talk us through that process then. So you knew a little bit of a younger age then that that's where you wanted to be. So taking the steps to go and become the person that you are now, you know, you're in training at the moment. But how did you get started? Because you also run a sex shop as well. So tell us what the reality of that is like.
So originally in college, I took human sexuality, and that sparked and opened a huge, you know, door for me. I attended my first pleasure product party, and I gave myself my first orgasm my second year in college. And I just lay there like, holy shit, like no one told me what this was. No one told me what anything about it. I'm like, I have to tell people about this. I just felt so upset that no one told me what this goodness. I have had sex before at that time. I've engaged in all kinds of sexual activity, but I never had an orgasm. I had to work with that toy to figure out what I like, the speeds and everything like that, and finally gave myself an orgasm. I was like, oh my gosh. So that was like the honest to God, like turning point. And yes, now I have my sex store, and I love giving vibrators for gifts. I've given them for Mother's Day gifts, people's first vibrators. I think it's really important that we prioritize our pleasure.
Absolutely. And you're definitely in good company here. That it's such a great thing. And it's such a simple thing that makes me so sad to hear, you know, your second year of college was the first time you had your orgasm. And, you know, that's after a few different sexual experiences. And it makes me sad to think we don't have that information out there. And there's a lot of people in that situation, and it doesn't have to be that case.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here in America, we don't have a standardized, you know, sex education anywhere. A lot of the time it's just only abstinence education. And so a lot of people are literally left in the dark, and, you know, they turn to maybe porn or something for some type of education, or an older person or someone that had a, you know, experience. And as we know, porn is like a movie, porn is acting, but sometimes people literally think that that's how things should go. And it's not. So yeah, a lot of people are definitely left in the dark.
Yeah, and porn is not sex education. And, they're professionals and the rest of us are mere mortals trying to figure it all out. So, yeah. And one of your, I suppose, your principles would be, you want to empower people with knowledge of sex and knowledge of their anatomy. But you say most of all, knowledge of self. So what exactly do you mean by that?
I don't think, because so many people are left in the dark, I don't think they know their full sexual capabilities or how to open their mind. And knowledge of self is really important. When you know what you like as a person, as yourself, especially sexually, you can then explain that, show people and tell people, your partners, your future partners, your current partner, what you really, want and like to have that satisfying, sex life, which is really important.
And part of that is, I suppose, impacted by some of the work that you do. It's that idea of inclusive sex, and especially for people who use the term plus size. But, it can be very difficult, for health reasons, for doctors who just dismiss you as, everything's connected to your health. But, larger people aren't catered for in a lot of areas of sex. They're not really represented even in porn, unless it's a very fetishized kind of way. Yes. There's some terms that are used that wouldn't exactly be very body positive as well. So how do people who are plus size really find that space to explore and to have information that's more relevant to their needs?
I think there's a lot of up and coming educators, programs, workshops that's really catering to that, which is really important, because society views plus size people not worthy of pleasure, if you will, or not represented in pleasure, even like you said, in porn or even on the covers of the toys or in the stock photos or any of that. And that's what kind of, society kind of views plus size, not worthy of it, which is totally wrong, because everyone is deserving of pleasure, regardless of what type of body you have.
I know that should be such a basic, but when you try and filter all those media messages.
Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, it's more fetishized than actual, the average, woman, if you will, is a size 16 to 18 now. So everyone kind of needs to get with the times. There's bellies involved. There's rolls involved. There's jiggling. There's wiggling. And that's all normal. I mean, a lot of us have, a jiggly thigh or whatever the case may be. And I would rather see it be more embraced than looked at as, not worthy or a fetish.
And what are some of those main issues when it comes to accessibilities for pleasure for people who are on the larger size? So I know you've talked before about, like you just said, their bellies getting in the way.
As far as sex toys go, sometimes I see new sex toys on the market and I just immediately think like, wow, this is not for me. It's, 2 inches. It's not, deep enough. The handle's not long enough. The nozzle or head, if you will, is not deep enough. So then it comes into, I have to position myself differently. And some people might not have all those pillows or positioning tools. So even if some toys would be a couple inches longer or a couple, inch or so deeper or something like that, it would definitely help, because other than plus size, there's pregnant people with bellies and there's people with disabilities that, have mobility issues, and all of that can really help those three main groups of people for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a pregnant person involved in any kind of advertising for sex toys.
Never. It's really beneficial to masturbate or have sex while pregnant. And I really think that the market, the industry, society is missing out on a huge, community of people.
Yeah, and you think it would make more sense as well, because it's more money for them to be as inclusive as possible.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand that, like, okay, so if we make a sex toy longer or bigger or wider or whatever the case, there's more money. But I've even become accustomed to, like, okay, well, I need, you know, a 3X shirt. I might have to pay a couple more dollars for it. And that's just something that I've, you know, grown up with and lived with. So I do know some people are already aware that if it is longer, they might have to pay, you know, a couple more dollars. But I'm definitely all for everyone receiving that pleasure, regardless of what body type you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And it's life is short. Let's have as many people having as many orgasms as you possibly can. Well, speaking of particular body types, so Mrs. Queen of Blowjobs, that was a smooth little segment in there. Talk to me about why this became your thing. Like, what is your fascination with the area?
So I started, let me see, about 3 years ago doing blowjob and, you know, female orgasm workshops. The blowjob class really took off. I was sponsored by the Amazing One Condoms that provided condoms for my blowjob workshop. And my workshop, I teach how to put on condoms with your mouth due to safer sex practices. And also Wicked Sensual Care provides the flavored lube that we use in the class as well. I absolutely love using flavored lube. It is one of the best things I've discovered during blowjobs because, you know, if you think about what we put in our mouth, it's things that taste good, things that we want to eat. And you're basically psychologically, you know, tricking yourself, thinking like, oh, wow, this is really tasty. It's delicious. I want to do it. It's a saliva enhancer. I mean, there are some blowjobs that I've given. I'm like, wow, this is a really tasty dick. You know, it makes me want to do that.
I hope you told them that afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. I said, your dick just tasted like a pancake. Yum. You know what I mean? You just want to, you know, do it.
I wish, like, you know, in some of the dating apps, you could give reviews of afterwards. You could put on that, you know, he has a pancake tasting dick.
Like, right.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. Anything to make it better. And I really strive to have both, or however many parties are involved, have enjoyment and pleasure out of it as well. So
that good that you mentioned the lube part, because I think for a lot of people, like if you were just using a condom for a blowjob, it gives you that kind of metallic-y, kind of rubbery, you know, chemically, I suppose, taste that not a lot of people would maybe quite like. So how do you find a nice flavored lube to go with that isn't very synthetic or sticky? Some of them can be.
So One Condoms actually has flavored condoms. I did flavor testing of condoms. I took them all out, tasted them. Some of them were absolutely horrible. And I'm like, what? Like, I wanted a brand that I would want people to want to use it. Not like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not doing this again. So One Condoms really has a lovely flavors. And they don't leave that film on your mouth afterwards.
Yeah.
But like liquid flavored lube is really tasty. And like I mentioned too, the Wicked Sensual Care, they have all these different flavors. You can mix and match them. Vanilla bean and coffee is kind of like a Starbucks, or there's apple and cinnamon, like an apple pie. They have peach and pink lemonade. There's so many different mixes and flavors you can come up with that you can have the dick taste different for a month straight. I mean, literally. So it just adds to the fun and excitement, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
The wetter the better, and you don't have to, like, you know, get that spit in the back. It's there. And like I said before, it's a saliva enhancer. So it makes it really enjoyable.
I think, yeah, for the longest time in Ireland, it was like, here's your strawberry lube, but that's it. Like, we didn't have a whole lot of choice. And it was that very synthetic kind of, just like, it would stay in your mouth for ages. And you're like, oh, this is just nasty.
Oh, no.
No, definitely.
Yeah. So do you have Wicked Sensual Care in Ireland?
I think in a few places. Yeah. Like, okay. There's definitely more, I suppose, awareness of more flavors than just strawberry. Finally,
I'll have to send you some.
I will. I'm not going to say no. Definitely not.
Yes.
That's fab. So that's kind of, yeah. So trial and error, I suppose, to find the right mm-hmm. flavor. And like you said, yeah, if you're mixing and matching, that's kind of pretty fun. But just to pick back up on what you just said a minute ago there. So you're teaching people how to put condoms on with their mouth. So is that, mm-hmm. I can imagine if you're sitting in a room full of like 30 odd people or whatever, and you're all there like with your duck lips, you know, with your condom held in place, is it a bit awkward for people at the start until they kind of get into it? Or I mean, they're at a blowjob workshop, they know what's coming, no pun intended,
right? And that's the thing, they are at a blowjob workshop, so they kind of in their mind have an idea of clearly what they're going to be talking about. But also looking around, everyone is in the same position. You know, we cheer each other on, so if a few girls or a few participants get the condom on quick, they cheer on everybody else, and I cheer on everybody. So it's like a fun, you know, thing, and we laugh. And that's really one of my goals, is to provide information in a fun way, so people want to learn and want to engage and just open up their mind more, for sure.
Yeah, and that fun really makes it very accessible. And
yeah,
I don't think you could teach a class like that anyway, being very serious and, you know, clinical about it. You have to have a bit of fun with that.
Well, we do go over anatomy, of course, because that's really important. And of course, you know, there's certain information that people should know about. But yeah, making it fun really gets the point across. And that's what, you know, matters to a lot of people, for sure.
And I assume you don't have 30 models there ready to get practiced on. So what are the implements that you use in the classes?
I have used cucumbers, zucchini, squash, carrots, a Japanese eggplant before, anything that kind of is long and slender. I grabbed too.
I don't know about your squashes, but over here, like, a butternut squash is quite thick and bulbous. So, I mean, there is limits.
Not as big?
Yeah. Like, they're a good, like, few, I don't know, like 8 inches round or something. And you're like,
oh my gosh,
not sure my mouth opens that wide. So yeah.
Ours are maybe like 2.
Ah, okay. Okay.
But yeah, it's not, they're not that big. And then, you know, you get to use that prop, take it home, put it in your salad, eat it on the way home, whatever you want to do. So.
Well, you've put a condom over it, so it's been protected.
And I clean them all before I ever, you know, go to a party or go to a workshop. I definitely make sure I clean them.
And so what are the most common, maybe fears is maybe not quite the right word, but questions that people have, like, are they nervous about it? Do they feel like this is an area of sex that they maybe aren't as confident in, and that's why they're coming to your classes?
A lot just come to better themselves or try to find some way to enjoy it. A lot of people think it's more of like a job, and I really want to steer away from that, because if your partner likes that, it shouldn't necessarily feel like a job. There should be some enjoyment. You're pleasing your partner, you're in control. So yeah, just trying to take that quote unquote job part out of it is, you know, really important to me, and just have some enthusiastic blowjobs.
Yeah. Well, and giving a blowjob can also be quite fun and, you know, very satisfying as well. It's not necessarily just the person getting that physical sensation, you know, mm-hmm. there's mental stimulation, well, and also like the physical sensation of something being in your mouth as well. So do mm-hmm. people maybe feel more confident that they'll find it a more pleasurable activity by the end?
Yes, for sure. I think the workshops open their mind and get them to understanding that it can be fun, and this should be fun. And there's ways to make it fun, as far as even using a cock ring or, you know, around the base, around the balls, using other instruments, a stroker, if the penis is, you know, really, you know, well endowed. Because unfortunately we can't dislocate our jaws, so we got to work with what we, you know what I mean? So, yeah, using different vibrators or toys, and it all adds to the experience. And, people can try things. They might not like it, but you tried it. Now you have a memory. Oh, you know, you can talk to your partner about whether you want to do that again or what you can switch it up. And it just opens that dialogue for, you know, future conversations and future good blowjobs.
So what counts as a good blowjob?
I honestly think it's based on, you know, your partner, because everyone likes, you know, different things. So I definitely believe that it's on a partner basis. As long as you're not biting it off, I could say that, you know, that's a standard. But yeah, it's definitely partner based. You know, I've used like menthol lube on people and it literally made their penis soft. And then I've used menthol lube on other people and they loved it. So it literally, it depends on your partner.
And I would assume the stereotype is that it's enthusiasm makes a good blowjob.
Oh, yes. You could have never given a blowjob before. But if you walk in and you're confident and you're enthusiastic, your partner can tell, they will never know.
Yeah, enthusiasm makes up for skill maybe sometimes when we're not.
For sure. Yeah, if you're really into it and just trying, I mean, your partner definitely can tell. Because I know I can tell when my partner's not into stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes it all the worthwhile when I can really see that enthusiasm and that desire.
But do you think a lot of people who aren't as enthusiastic about it, they have that experience, and I think this is a very common experience where there's, you know, the guy will just push your head down or else, like, push your head in a way that like you don't have that flexibility to kind of get some air back in your throat, or just like, you know, like there's a lack of consent implied in that as well. If your head is just being pushed down, obviously some people are into that. That's fine. Yeah. But I'm talking about those that, you know, haven't explicitly consented to that. So do you think that that would lead to very negative?
Yes, 100%. Traumatic experiences, and I would actually include that in a traumatic experience, because that can hurt your neck, that can hurt, you know, just your frame of mind while you're doing it. So something like that can definitely be traumatic for sure. And talking to your partner definitely afterwards or beforehand, like, hey, do not, you know, push my head down with a lot of force. You can rest your hand on it or something like that, but do not forcefully push my head down. That, you know, that conversation definitely needs to be had for sure.
Because you see that in a lot of porn as well. Like a lot of blowjobs are very aggressive.
Aggressive, yep. And unfortunately, like we talked about earlier, a lot of people get their information from porn. So that might be how mentally they think it should go.
Mm-hmm. Or else, like, you know, really extreme, like deep throat stuff. And maybe that's not that you don't necessarily go from like 0 to 100 when it comes
there
to that.
There are definitely techniques and, you know, little tips you could do to work on that for sure. So, yes, you definitely don't go 0 to 60. Just do that.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, that's training and time. And there's a lot of stages cut out of the scene, you know, that we don't get to see the behind the scenes. It's not an absolutely seamless process, and again, professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do people navigate the spit or swallow conundrum? Because there's a lot of people who are in one camp or the other, and then, you know, they're trying to figure it out. Or like, even if you're spitting, how do you politely get rid of the spit? Do you have a tissue next to the bed? Like, how do people figure out which side of that equation they're on?
Well, I think just giving people two options as far as spitting and swallowing is kind of limiting. There's plenty of other things you could do with the semen. The spitting and swallowing is definitely a personal choice. And I have talked, like, I know with myself and I've talked to other people that it depends on the relationship with the person. So if they're more, you know, connected and more maybe fluid bonded, or that's their only partner, they might be more inclined to swallow versus someone they might have just met or something like that. And they, you know, they spit it out. However, one thing I know I like to do is, when he's coming, I keep going. So I use that semen as more lube and more, you know, lubrication and wetness, and just keep going. And that's like the soul snatching act. It's like, and he's like, okay, stop, you know what I mean? So I use it I guess I swallow and spit both.
You're multitasking.
Yeah, I'm multitasking, using it for lube and just, you know, I've cum everywhere. So
is that maybe though, you have to check it if, you know, because some guys get extremely sensitive and they're like, all right, I'm done. They just don't even look at me. Oh. I can't, I'm too sensitive for any kind of touch. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely learn your partner for sure.
I'd say they tell you pretty quick on that aspect of it because they're going to push you away. But yeah. So, but then how do you have that awkward conversation? Because some people do not taste the freshest. It depends on things like diet and stuff like that. So how do you have that conversation? Because I think maybe that's where a lot of people might not like the taste because it's influenced by other things.
Mm-hmm. Diet is really important, and especially hydration. The number one thing is staying hydrated. Maybe if you can, you know, talk to your partner about how important drinking, water is, and tell them why. Hey, if you drink more water, I'm going to swallow. And a light bulb is going incentive. To go up there in their head, and they're going to be like, you know what? All right. You know what I mean? I mean, why would they, you know, say no to having your mouth on their penis? You know,
I just pictured them like running straight to the fridge going, okay,
I'm going to go.
And then what about the pineapple? Is that a myth? Is that a stereotype that if you eat loads of pineapple, you'll have very nice tasting bodily fluids?
Now, okay, so I've seen mixed feelings on this, but I definitely think it contributes to the diet. If you eat a good, you know, lots of fruit or vegetables, definitely fruit, it's a healthier, sweeter, semen. I've actually tried it, and I've actually given pineapple for a week, and it made his semen sweeter. Not like super sugary or anything like that. We're not going all the way, but it definitely changed the taste of it, really, with that, you know, water and that pineapple juice. It definitely did.
And was he aware that that's why you were giving him loads of pineapple?
I told him what we were doing. He was all for it, of course.
Yeah,
he was
okay,
I'm going to get more blowjobs, sure. You know, so.
Or maybe you're like, oh, there's just a surplus of pineapples at the store. Like, let's use them all up really quickly.
Right. I was going to say, and then you don't even need it. Oh, hey, here's this pineapple juice, babe. I made you breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can be sneaky that way. And so, mm-hmm.
But the diet is definitely important for sure.
And I think I've heard that people who smoke would have different taste in semen as well. But I think that seems kind of obvious with, you know, stuff that's in your system.
Well, people who smoke have different tasting. Yeah. Even their breath, their kissing, it tastes different. So I directly feel like it will, you know, have even us tasting different for sure. So, yeah.
And then what about the spit side? So is it a case of, you know, do you spit in your hand? Do you spit it? Do you have a specific sex towel next to your bed, as Beyonce does, allegedly? Where are you spitting? Don't spit on bed sheets because no one wants to line the wet patch.
I hold it in my mouth and run. You know, go to the sink. I have, like I said, held it in my mouth. Go to the sink. Put on warm water. Get him a warm washcloth, so it comes full circle. And I rinse my mouth out. I go wipe him off. And it's just a seamless process as far as that go too. I hold it in my mouth, or like you said, have a towel or a rag or whatever, you know.
And when that is washed frequently.
Yeah.
That bit's always important. Hygiene is definitely good. And then the other, I suppose, maybe it's a hurdle, I suppose, to people's enjoyment of giving blowjobs can be the jaw ache, because your jaw can get very sore after a while. So how do you navigate that and kind of prolong the experience then?
I recommend people have boundaries and tell a partner their boundaries, because you're right, that jaw and that neck ache can actually really hurt, especially the next day. It can give you headaches, stuff like that. And I you know, to setting boundaries on what you're comfortable with is really important. Now, I've talked to some of the porn stars at Exotica and other things, and they came up with like 10 minutes, now I'm going to go full force and go give my all. You could give a pretty damn good blowjob in 10 minutes. So I'm going to go all out. And then after 10 minutes, either we can have sex, either you can come to me, you know, we can finish another way, but being respectful, like I said, to yourself, your partner and everything like that, because going to work the next day with a crick in your neck, you're going to be, you know, not in a good mood. And it's just not, it's not worth it to put yourself in harm's way or a headache. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. So setting boundaries, letting your partner know, having alternatives, like I said, we can have sex afterward or, you know, do other things, other sexual activities to, you know, finish the job. But a good 10 minutes.
Yeah. And that's probably long enough for quite a lot of people anyway.
Yeah, it is. It honestly is. 10 minutes is definitely a good time frame for sure.
And do you think that different positions help as well? Because, it all depends on angles. So if you're kind of maybe on your knees, it's a different angle. Or if you're on your back with your head over the bed, that's a different angle as well. I'm assuming that there's not a golden position because it's obviously going to differ for everybody.
It does. I say use the bed to your advantage. Now, if he's laying down and you're kind of over top of him, even if you bounce with the bed, that kind of makes it easier and he's going in and out of your mouth with the bed. So that kind of takes a little bit of the neck motion out of it. So use what you have around you. Like we talked earlier, the toys, the cock rings, play with the balls, stroke his leg or his stomach, and just stimulate him in other ways as well, you know, to help, I guess, speed up the process a little bit. You know, you can hum on it, eye contact. There's all those little, you know, tricks that you could do to kind of, you know, really speed up the process.
And I've seen kind of memes and stuff online where it's like, if you use your hand during a blowjob, it's a failure, like it's not a real blowjob kind of thing. But I don't think a lot of guys who are into blowjobs will really complain about a hand or two being added to the equation.
No, a blowjob has a great hand job accompanied by it. You know, there are some, you know, people that just like the mouth, and there's some that like it all. It's just, it really depends on your partner. Cause I've experienced both. I've experienced a partner that loves the hands and the balls and all of that. And then I've experienced a partner that just no hands at all, just use your mouth and your tongue. So it literally depends on your partner, but use what you have around you to make the experience fun and easier.
Yeah, and to give your mouth a break as well. You've got hands there for that.
Like, even those penis sleeves, I know you can't see, but like even a penis sleeve definitely helps for a well-endowed or a longer penis. Because like I said, we can't dislocate our jaw. I know some people would love that, but we can't. So yeah, using fun tools and sex toys is an addition to the experience for sure.
And I love that because so many sex toys are aimed at people with vulvas and they're viewed as they're feminine toys and that's it. But guys miss out then a lot on the joys of sex toys.
Yeah, that's why, you know, in my shop, I definitely wanted to include strokers because it is important. I've, you know, had clients say that, you know what, this stopped me from cheating. So it definitely is important for, penis owners to have strokers and toys for them too.
Yeah. And life again is short and you know,
yeah.
we tell mostly women about sex toys and pleasure, and we need to include men and people with penises in that equation. Absolutely as well. So
sure.
Yeah. And so the other, I suppose, maybe negative, I'm really focusing on all the negatives of blowjobs at the moment, but there's definitely a lot of positives. But the issue of gagging. Now, for some, gagging is the hottest thing in the world for both the person giving and the person receiving. And a little bit of extra fluid, should we say, can be a hot thing or it can be totally disgusting. You know, it varies from person to person. But people's gag reflexes can either stop the fun or maybe be frustrating if they can't go as deep as they'd like. And again, when you're looking at porn and you're seeing porn stars, you know, just mindlessly swallowing this gigantic penis with no bother, that's not the reality for most people.
Not at all. And practicing makes you better. So positioning for deep throating definitely matters. You know, you see sword swallowers and they're not, you know, looking straight on, or, you know, their head is up and their throat is elongated. And that way the sword can go down their throat easier. And that's kind of what you want to imitate for, you know, gagging in a blowjob. But gagging to me is like an ego stroker. So when you gag, it's like, oh, my dick's big. You know what I mean? I mean, I know how to, you know, we can fake gag noises and all that stuff, but it's definitely for sure, I think, an ego stroker.
I mean, yeah, I can see that definitely being a thing. So, yeah, but then how do you get comfortable with that and to let yourself go? And, you know, like, I suppose the fear is that you're going to throw up on someone.
Yes, which I've encountered that too as well. But I definitely recommend working on it, maybe having a tongue depressor or a toothbrush and kind of putting it in the back of your throat. And when you feel like you're going to gag, you kind of hold it there. So that mentally gets your body used to having something there. And you kind of work on that gag reflex. So it is definitely possible to work on it for sure.
And I suppose there is also people there that don't mind the addition to the party of, you know, and I think, is that called rainbow parties when people are like gagging so much that they throw up? I think, I'm sure it has a name. There's definitely a name. It's a sex thing. It's just definitely names.
I have not heard of the throw up parties. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like it was called like a Greek or a Roman thing because of course, you know, the depravity of those times and stuff. But
I'm going to have to look this up.
That's kind of there. So how do people then who are going to receive the blowjob, like how do they improve their communication techniques if it's not doing it for them? You know, if they're kind of going, they're doing this, you know, they're spelling out their name with their tongue and that's not really what I'm all about, or they want it wet and messy and it's not really getting that way. So how do they communicate in a kind way?
It's super important too, and it sometimes having conversations might necessarily not be the easiest, but it's necessary. And just having that conversation with your partner as far as, hey, I would like you to try this, or hey, I always say bring up me or bring something they saw on the internet, like, oh, hey, I saw about this flavored lube, or oh, I saw this lady who teaches blowjob class. You know what she does? And bring up that kind of dialogue so it could open up. Well, yeah, you know what, I would like to try that, or hey, if you know, she said speed it up, but you know what, I really like if you go slow. So it can open that dialogue, is bring something up you know, that relates to that, or you know, a person that you saw, a meme. There's memes out there all the time, you know, just definitely having those hard conversations, but they're necessary to get what you want and you know, to be satisfied for sure.
And it's easier for, I suppose, maybe a lot of women who have more access to a ton of books on the subject. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more female identifying educators out there that speak about, you know, women and people with vulvas and their pleasure, and then I think the penis kind of gets left out of a lot of those conversations sometimes.
Centered for hundreds of thousands of years, you know, and now I think the female pleasure is, I wouldn't want to say centered, but it's being more talked about, if you will. So there are great, you know, male or male identified educators out there that, you know, have workshops and stuff. So seeking that out, you know, Googling, there's definitely resources and books and all of that out there if you look for them.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and don't just refer to porn. That's not.
Oh yes, don't just. Yes, that's the thing. There's so many great resources out there that definitely has nothing to do with porn. Yeah. Like I said, we watch porn. You know, it's a good starter. It's a good conversation piece, but it definitely shouldn't be the basis of education or this quote unquote standard of sex.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, just one option in a myriad of options. Speaking of porn, you know, both of us, we've been to the AVN Awards in Vegas. So for anyone who doesn't know, it's the Adult Video Network Awards, and that's where they give out trophies such as, you know, best gangbang, best blowjob, best ass, and like whatever you kind of name it really exists. And it's a massive expo as well. I think the Vegas one has some like 80,000 people over 5 days or some kind of wild number like that. So how did you find it? And you've taught at conventions like this, not the AVNs, but Exotica, which would be in the similar kind of vein. How did you find that experience?
So Glamazon Taomi Morgan, she's the resident sex expert for Exotica. And she tweeted, I want to say maybe 3-4 years ago, I wonder if Excite Me will teach the blowjob class at Exotica. And when I saw that tweet, I almost had a heart attack, okay?
I can imagine. So, I'd die.
Honor, right? So all of the Exoticas, and I brought my friend on, her name is Jen Smith, to help kind of teach these workshops, because in New York we had 150 people, in New York we had 250 people, in Miami we had 150 people. So to work that crowd, I mean, we had enough cucumbers for the first 50 people, you know, so they could participate and got condoms and lube and all of that. But that was one of the most fun and rewarding experiences. There were all ages, all races, all genders, all walks of life. They're, you know, sitting in the seminars, wanting to learn different things. And it was a lot of fun, for sure.
I can imagine how surreal that is. Like, you're looking out at like hundreds of people. Like, you just said,
oh my gosh, they're out the door. They're out the door.
Like, even that sentence you just said there, we only had enough cucumbers for 50. Like, how surreal a sentence is that to have in your life? So, wow. And I can imagine, like, you must be in buzzing then and walking around. Like, it's, they're very sexually charged environments. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not like no one's having sex all over the place, but there is right. like porn stars, and there's people selling toys, and people like yourselves teaching about sex. And it's just, there's sex in the air. Like, it's tangible, whether it's from a business perspective or educational perspective, or maybe hopes of, you know, real life sex later on that night in, you know, a hotel room or whatever. What does it feel like to be in that kind of environment?
Like, it feels awesome. It feels like I'm around, quote unquote, you know, my community. And, you know, a lot of the times people are open-minded, they're curious, they're there to learn, and they're eager to learn. So they're not closed off if you say something or recommend something. So it's an awesome experience to be around those people looking to have fun, looking to, you know, spice up their relationship. It's definitely a great experience, for sure.
And you definitely do meet all walks of life at them. They're not, yeah. I think the stereotype is like, maybe there's just a whole bunch of sleazy guys going, and that's absolutely not the case.
No, I love working with my couples. There's a lot, like I said, there's all ages. I think the couple, she was 70 and he was 72 or something, and they were there in my blowjob class. You know, and she was like, I picked a small cucumber. I need a bigger one. He's bigger. You know what I mean?
Fair play. Having
fun, you know what I mean? So, and she wanted to learn, and she got a kick out of it. She's like, oh, honey, I haven't used a condom in years, but I'm going to go try this trick. You know what I mean? Like, it was so fun.
Fair play. That's so lovely. Yeah. We've had Joan Price on the podcast before talking about senior sex and how.
Oh, I love her.
She's just the most adorable woman, and just talking about how when you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, it doesn't mean sex has to end, you know. And
yeah,
I'm glad blowjobs are still part of that.
I will never forget, down in Florida, I was with, you know, Jen, my sex therapist friend, and we were sitting, and it was 60 and over, and they found out that we taught blowjob classes, and I literally handed out the entire conference room lube. So, like, sex should not stop just because you're, you know, a little bit older.
Absolutely, yeah. And I love, I suppose, that immersion in sex from those kind of events. Like, it's not, I suppose we can be very limited sometimes in what we think of as sex. And then when you go to such an event like that and you see all sorts of different sex and all sorts of different people, and you really, you have all sorts of weird and wonderful conversations with people you never thought. Like, I remember when I went to the bar afterwards and I got chatting to a guy, and it turns out he just won the award for best male newcomer. And I was like, oh, tell me everything.
Yes.
And he was like this adorable little excited puppy, and just, he was so excited, and he's like, I just won this, and like, oh my gosh. And you know, it was like a kid at Christmas getting a bike or something, but he just won it for very adult means and stuff. And I love that, you know, that mix, I suppose, of different experiences. And I suppose would the conversations and that kind of environment and atmosphere that you're in, does that inform your teaching or like kind of reunite that passion to get that information out there into the general public?
Oh, for sure. It really does, because it's so needed and it's so necessary and it's so wanted. You know, I've told, you know, people that I'm going to these conventions or and they're like, well, what are they like? I'm like, wait, you mean porn stars? He's like, yeah. I'm like, normal human beings? Like, you know, people put these porn stars into, you know, they can't have a conversation. They're normal people. They'll have, you know, it's just funny how people think of, you know, porn stars.
Yeah. I'm sure people have that view of you as well, because you're there going, I teach blowjobs for a living, and people are probably like, God, you must be so wild. You must be blowjobs morning, noon and night, and all those stereotypes.
And I will let it be known now that I'm not sucking dick all day. I will. I'm not. Okay, so we'll just end that right there. But yes, a lot of people think like, oh, your sex life is this or that, and I'm not sucking dick all day. I'm sorry to break your heart, but I'm not.
Yeah, you have, like, there's other things to do in the day, yeah. You know. And also your partner isn't that lucky, because, you know,
right. Life.
Oh, bless. Okay, well, glad we cleared up the stereotype of that. That's important. I suppose on that note then, you know, just to kind of look at your sprinkling of sex positivity. I love that expression. It's just so nice and gentle. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people on the podcast so far, and they use a lot of humor. And that's what really, I'm drawn to those people, because I just think that's such a good way to talk about sex. And you definitely do. And your whole, you've a fun, you know, vibe about you. I suppose, like, even your... You've co-opted the Make America Great slogan by Make America Orgasm Again. And that's the best use for that slogan, personally speaking.
Listen, okay.
What have the responses to that been like?
A lot of them have been fun. I've had a couple side eyes when I was further away from people and people didn't know what that said. And then when I walk up on people, they're like, oh, okay. You know what? I mean, for sure. But yeah, so far, you know, it's been all right, you know.
Do you find that it's a break in the ice moment with a lot of people?
Yes, I like wearing or doing things that are that kind of breaking the ice, whether it be t-shirts, whether it be my vibrator necklaces or my vibrator rings or my clit ring, just conversation, you know, topics that people... They're curious. And I've had people like, no one's talked to people in a certain way before. They've heard so many negative things about sex. I've had, you know, people who have heard nothing negative and now they're married and they can't get that negativity out of their head, you know, and having someone talk to them in a positive way and an encouraging and open-minded way honestly changes people's lives.
It does. And there's so much power in that. And it might seem really simple to people who are maybe a bit further along the journey than those who've never had access to that kind of education on sex positivity before. But I actually think that's really revolutionary for a lot of people to be told that, hey, you can enjoy sex and, you know, orgasms are your birthright, you know, if you're able to have them or whatever. And I suppose there is like friendly sex education out there, because there's so many people who don't have access to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so like, how does that feel to be like one of the leaders of that? Because blowjobs can be a thing. No, but you are though. Like, blowjobs can be a thing where so many people, like we touched on earlier, can see it as a chore, Or some people are like, I'll give him a blowjob if he gets me a handbag. Or, you know, it's very transactional nature. Or he gets one on his birthday and one at Christmas and then that's it. So what's that like to, you know, banish that? I suppose you could put that under the umbrella of shame and stigma, really.
To me, it's life-changing. And it's honestly, the feedback is what I do this for. Because I've seen, you know, I didn't grow up in a very sex positive house. I know what effect that can have on people. And I really try to change that. Because again, you know, pleasure is your birthright. And every, you know, person, if they want to experience pleasure, should be able to. And, you know, blowjob, like, you know, mentioned before, they're just so looked at as like, oh, I need to do this porn scene and everything. And it honestly doesn't have to be like that at all. So just switching the narrative, trying to be more positive and encouraging about it. It honestly is life-changing for me as well, you know, because of the feedback. I know I'm trying to do something for the good, you know, to help people. And that's my main goal.
Yeah, and when you're definitely succeeding at it, and I'm delighted for you to get back post-COVID times into real life workshops again.
Yes, I'm slowly opening up and doing private parties, of course, 10 or less, just, you know, privately in October, and we're going to see how that goes. But to be honest, due to, unfortunately, COVID, I'm not quite sure when, you know, the next Exotica, something like that would be, or anything like that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But smaller venues and smaller groups, I'm definitely going to try to open up and see how that goes. So we'll see. I'm confident, and I think, you know, good is going to come of this due to COVID. I know myself and a lot of other people in industry, people are looking for stuff to spice up their relationship because they're together all the time, or looking for stuff for themselves because they're separated all the time. So we're definitely a really needed and wanted industry right now. And I'm really happy for that. And I'm happy to see that growth and change and all that.
Yeah, no, it is lovely to see. And because sex is such a form of health, you know, when we have good sex, it looks after our physical health and our mental health as well. So it's all connected, lovely like that. So yeah, and you teach a whole bunch of workshops. So you teach them on male orgasm, female orgasm, blowjob, sex toys, couples workshops as well. Where can people find you if they want to look up, hopefully, how to have you in person, hopefully soon?
Yeah, exciteme.com, EXXITEME.com, on my social media platforms. Excite Me on Twitter, Linnea Marie on Facebook, and IG, I have EX.X.XITEME. I had to put the periods in there because I've been reported 5 times on IG. So, you know, making it this far on my IG is definitely an accomplishment for me, I'll say the least.
Yeah, sometimes some of them aren't very friendly to sex-positive content. But I definitely urge listeners to go check out, because I think your social media is just such a lovely, fun, colourful, bright, accessible look at sex. And, you know, you've got like glittery pictures and it's just like fun, and that's what we need. You know, we need to have that. So Linnea, thank you so much for, first of all, for giving me condoms for my wedding. Thank you so much on a personal level. Yeah, and thank you so much for your time today. I feel like it's been nice to have like a kind of in-depth look at blowjobs that, you know, pick it apart, and I'm glad you mentioned all the things that you did. So thank you so much, and I hope everyone listening actually runs off and tries it, hopefully.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much to my listeners as well. And thank you for tuning in. If you like the content, you know, please pop over to Apple and rate and review. You can follow us on Spotify, social media platforms. It's both Glow West Podcast on both I've forgotten the word now, Instagram and Twitter. My mind is just full of images after this chat. And again, if you really, really like the content, it's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And I will chat to you next week.